Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode of the Queen Comedy Podcast is sponsored by The Midnight Hour, a radio comedy drama unlike any other, hosted by Tom Babajowski. Come join the absurd world of Huron City Radio, fake station, real funny. Check it out at HuronCityRadio.com. This episode of the Queen Comedy Podcast is sponsored by Stacey King's Give Me the Hot Sauce Podcast. Three-time world champion Chicago Bull, Stacey King's very entertaining Give Me the Hot Sauce Podcast entertains with his thoughts and opinions on sports and current events. Check out the link to Stacey King's Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast in the show notes and anywhere you find podcasts.
You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Queen Comedy Podcast. It is James, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Luke LaCoy.
Hey.
So today we have a special guest, and this guy has a really cool podcast called Behind the Bits. It's so interesting. Also, what caught my eye is not actually that it's about comedy, but it looks like his cover has almost like a Rick and Morty-esque type look on it. And so for me, it like that grabbed my attention. I was like, oh, is this a Rick and Morty podcast? And it wasn't, but I was happy because I still found something about comedy that I could laugh at. So please welcome the very funny, the very cool Mr. Scott Curtis.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, James and Luke.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming on. Yeah,
so, that's so the whole Rick and Morty thing is kind of funny. The guy, I can't remember his name, but the guy that designed my podcast logo, I had it done like 6 months before I started my podcast. And all of his stuff looks like Rick and Morty. And
nice.
I don't know who Rick and Morty is. I've never seen it. So I was just like, okay, it looks good.
Now you're going to have to go watch Rick and Morty. But here's the problem. Once you start watching Rick and Morty, you'll just keep watching Rick and Morty. Like, you'll get to the end of all the seasons and then you'll start over again because you'll find like 5 or 10 episodes that you absolutely love and you can quote. Yeah. So it's a weird thing like that. I don't know what kind of shows you like.
Most likely, probably like X-Files. I've watched X-Files like 4 times through.
Yes, X-Files. That was such a good show. Although the earlier seasons I like much better than the later seasons of X-Files.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it was better, but I just love it.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into comedy, how you got into Behind the Bits, and how this kind of came about and stuff.
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story because it's comedy. I've been working at the same place for 16 years, and I'm a consultant. And we have a company party every year. And about 5 years ago, the guy who was in charge of the company party, who's one of my coworkers and a friend of mine, his name is Michael Dunlap. I always like to mention his name for posterity. But he said, you know what? We've had a magician for the last 3 years, and we'd like a comedian. So we'd like for you to do comedy for the company party. And I said, no, I'm not a comedian. And he wouldn't let up. The guy asked me like 4 times. So finally I come home and told my wife, I said, honey, you know, Michael is just bugging me about doing comedy for this company party. And she said, well, you know, you want to do it. So do it. So my first set was 45 minutes.
Whoa.
And I got paid for it. And
the anomaly.
Yeah, $150. And I didn't get paid again for a long time, of course. But
you never did 45 minutes again for a long time, right?
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I did 45. But yeah, the cool thing about it was it sparked something that's been in me for a long time. I talk about this all the time. When I was probably 12 years old, I saw Tom Dreesen on Mike Douglas' show, and the set that he did just made me in love with comedy. So back then, it was a TV guide. And I looked through the TV guide and looked for Tom Dreesen's name. He did Mike Douglas. He did Dinah Shore. He did Merv Griffin. He did Carson. When Letterman started, him and Letterman are best friends. He did Letterman like 30 times. So I was just in love with Dreesen, and I always watched him. But then life happened, and I got married. I had kids. I'm what Ron Bennington would call a ham and egger. I just did my job and came home. But after the kids were gone, I decided, you know what? Michael had me do this once. I'm going to go ahead and do some open mics and start doing this. And it caught on. So I've been doing it for about 5 years. And I decided that since I'm an older gentleman and I need to learn as much as I can, as quickly as I can, so I can do some comedy before I die, that I would like to start a podcast and learn everything I can about comedy and then impart that knowledge on to my listeners. So that's really what the whole podcast is about.
That's exactly the same reason we started the Clean Comedy Podcast. Is we actually started because because you can't go up to comedians at a comedy club that may be like headliners and say, hey, can you talk to me about comedy for 20, 30 minutes? They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to talk to you. Right. But if you have a podcast and you say, hey, can I have 20, 30 minutes of your time to be on this podcast and help you promote whatever you're doing or get your name out there, would you be open to that? They're more than happy to do that. And that's exactly how Luke and I started. And we actually started also to document our journey. So if you listen to like the early episodes of the Clean Comedy Podcast, it's the first episode. I don't think it exists anymore, but it was in a, well, here's why. It was in a coffee shop and it was super loud. And the it was just terrible. It was like the worst thing you could possibly do. We knew nothing about podcasting. Yeah. We knew nothing about doing any of that stuff. We figured we'd meet in a coffee shop and do it. And then we started doing it at my apartment. And then now we do it on Zoom and stuff like that. But it was literally the same reason. How can we get as much knowledge as fast as possible outside of doing stand-up all the time and get to pick people's brains that we may never otherwise get to stop and talk to, you know, for 20, 30, like have their attention for 20 or 30 minutes. So bravo to you, sir, for being a genius on that as well. That's the way you do it. To be fair, I also stole that from Rogan because Rogan does the exact same thing. He wants to learn something. He books a guest and then talks to them for 3 hours about it. You know?
Yeah, so, no doubt.
So where are you from? I didn't ask that question.
Yeah, I'm actually from Mishawaka, Indiana, which is right by South Bend, which is right by Notre Dame. So
I have friends. We have friends from there, actually.
Oh,
from
cool.
From South Bend, yeah.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I did a podcast prior to Behind the Bits. It was called Michiana People, because when you live close to the Michigan line, you are Michiana. And I interviewed, much like you, I interviewed people in places I shouldn't be interviewing because the noise was terrible. But I did it for actually about 5 years. I did that local podcast, and it got better, obviously. And it got to the point where, you know, the comedy was becoming more important than talking to musicians and entrepreneurs and stuff like that. So I switched over to Behind the Bits, but it was really good learning because I came into Behind the Bits knowing a lot more than I would had I not done that before. Because if you listen to my early episodes of Michiana People, it's rough.
That's the best part about podcasting, though, is you learn as you go. It's another skill that you have to really kind of build up, like talking to people, asking them questions, waiting for pauses, like all those things. You do it very well. So that makes sense. I was like, man, he's so good at this. Like, I was impressed, and I was like, I've never heard of this guy. This is amazing. And I think you're like 50 episodes in or something like that, right?
Actually, I hit 63 this week.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, and you have some of my favorite people. Robert G. Lee, who's a good friend of ours, a big mentor to us. Steve Hofstetter, who I love and I've never been able to pin down and get a hold of. So bravo to you, sir. I mean, you have a bunch of people Jeff Shaw, who's a good friend of ours and just did the podcast. Justin Foster, I had a similar story like you. I wanted to do stand-up. But I wanted to do it for my 35th birthday. So I decided 9 months before my 35th birthday, I would get ready to try to do stand-up. And I was going to do half an hour for my birthday. and I was going to rent out the club and I was going to do this show. Justin Foster worked at the club that I was at. He's there. Oh. He's the bartender. We were talking and he would give me tips and see me at the mics or whatever. And he goes, man, you're getting better and you're getting better faster. I was like, well, I got a show. I'm doing half an hour for my birthday. And he goes, wait, didn't you just start? And I was like, yeah, I started like, 8 months ago or whatever. He's like, and you're going to do half an hour, not even a year. And I said, yeah. He goes, you're insane. You're an insane person. He's like, there's nobody should be doing that. And so I did the show. And then like maybe a week or two later, I came back and did open mic and he was working. And he goes, how did it go? And I was like, it was terrible. And he goes, I told you, like pretty much I told you. So I love Justin. He's so funny. And I was like, oh, man.
I really like talking to him. He was so serene because we were, smack dab in the middle of the pandemic when I talked to him. And for some reason, his serenity kind of came through the screen to me and it actually calmed me down because I know I was having a rough day that day. And I don't know why, but we're friends on Facebook. But every time I see him post something, my blood pressure comes down a couple notches. So
that really actually makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. He's just one of those people who's so intelligent and like,
yeah,
it kind of give you this perspective where you're like, oh, I never thought of that. Like, 'cause he helped me with some jokes too, where I do a joke at open mic. And he was at the bar in the club. So he'd hear it. And then afterwards he'd say, hey, you know what? Reverse how you said that. It'll make it funnier. And so I just like little things. And he's, oh my gosh, he's the best.
Yeah. And he inspired me because when I talked to him, he said that he retook the comedy class that he took when he first started. So he's been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah.
So Robert G. Lee is doing a comedy class and I signed up for it because I've done some what I consider semi-formal stuff. Like Joel and I have done some stuff, Joel Byers.
Yeah.
And he's also got a video thing out that I bought and I did that too. But Robert, for some reason, he's another guy I connected with just because of his sensibility. He's got a little bit of sarcasm, a little dry. And so I decided I'm going to go ahead and take his class and see if I can get better.
Really? So how has Robert not told us this? This is insane. I'm sorry. I didn't hear from you.
That's been new since we talked to Robert. His class has been, it came new. Out after we talked to him.
Yeah, wow.
But he should have emailed me or called me or whatever.
Yeah.
What a jerk. Don't tell him I said that. Yeah. I'm now mad at him. He's like my dad, and that's how he's going to treat me. Like, that's hurtful.
Yeah. I'll let him know.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, please do. Like, say you need to call James because he's hurt. He's hurt right now, and he loves you, and this is how you're treating him? I don't know what's going on here. That's awesome. So you still live in South Bend in that area and stuff?
Yeah, my wife and I are actually we're working on an escape plan because really the only thing holding us here right now is the fact that we have a home here. So we're my son's down in Huntsville and we're looking to possibly in the fairly near future move to Huntsville, Alabama and be closer to my son.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, and then you'll be right there next to Florida. Florida's amazing for not retiring, but it's forgetting. Like, we're thinking about moving from LA to Orlando area. We have friends out there and stuff. So we're thinking about that too. And there's a great comedy scene actually in Orlando. A lot of comedians, Preacher Lawson came out of there. I know a ton of comedians who've come in out of the Orlando area. It's a great comedy scene. And then you can hit the kind of southern places. You can hit Atlanta and go up to Tennessee and all that kind of stuff. And so,
Atlanta's got a great scene too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're a Queen comedian?
Yeah. I am. So I don't advertise myself as a clean comedian. I just say I'm a comedian, but I've naturally gone to it. I think by looking at me, I look either like a pharmacist or your high school history teacher. So for me to do blue stuff isn't going to work.
Yeah. What is your favorite part about comedy? And what's your favorite part about doing your podcast too?
So the comedy part is really just getting that energy from the audience. I've done some shows where it just worked and everybody laughed and everybody loved what I had to say. And it's not so much that I felt good about what I did. I just felt so good that they felt good. And I don't know. It's just, it's a feeling. One of the things Tom Dreesen talks about is that comedy is a healing method. And if I made somebody feel better, if I made their day better by doing my act, I'm totally paid. I'm good. And that is really the best thing I like about comedy. As far as the podcast goes, it's just all the great people I get to talk to and the different perspectives I get. And it's funny, comedians, we're all similar in a way, in that we're very aware of our surroundings. We are very keen to see what's going on in the world and what's going on in our lives. However, we all approach it different ways. And the way that some of these people approach it is way different than I would. But it works for them. Yeah. And I think that's the big takeaway of my podcast, if you never listen to it, is you got to find your own voice and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke?
I was curious if there's been like any kind of recurring themes or advice from comedians that you've interviewed.
Yeah, for sure. Don't listen to other comedians. Yeah. So true story. A friend of mine, he's from the Chicago area, was touring with Jeff Foxworthy before You Might Be a Redneck If. And Jeff pitched the idea to my friend. I'm not going to say what his name is, but he was on my podcast. And he pitched the idea, You Might Be a Redneck. And my friend said, that's never going to work.
Who's laughing now?
Yeah. And you know, my friend's still, you know, slogging away at clubs like everybody else. But the funny thing is you get good advice. But the thing is you always have to find your own way. There, no matter what kind of advice you get, you have to really be terrible up there a few times and find out that this isn't you and just keep slogging through it. And that's pretty universal. Just don't listen to other people and yet listen to them, because some of them actually have some good stuff.
Well, what's funny is I heard about Bill Engvall before I ever heard of Jeff Foxworthy, because yeah. The Here's Your Sign thing was big. Uh-huh. And my grandma would play that like bit for us and stuff. And it was, yeah. You know, it's clean or whatever, but it's super funny. And I just remember his tire bit, like, oh, looks like you got a flat tire. It's like, no, the other three just swelled up. Here's your sign. Like, that was the joke. And I always remember that as a kid. I would love that. And then when I found out that they all toured together, I was like, oh, Bill Engvall made Jeff Foxworthy famous. That's not how that worked, by the way, just so everyone knows. But that was also a time where catchphrases were a big thing, right? Because Larry the Cable Guy had Get Her Done. And he would also, you know, do the thing where he'd say something bad. Then he'd say, oh, Lord, please forgive me, and Little Pygmies. You know, he would do that thing. And then like Bill Engvall, here's your sign, Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a redneck. Jeff Foxworthy made millions on that You Might Be a Redneck. I have a book of book that like I bought one time because I was like, this is such an interesting thought process. He took basically like, you know, Yo Mama jokes and made them redneck jokes, you know. It's hilarious.
I mean, it was absolute genius.
I wish I had something like that, you know, because the only person I can remember that did that before, and we talked about this with Joel, is Rodney Dangerfield, you know, the I Get No Respect. That was the line, and there wasn't anybody else doing that type thing at the time. So it's such an interesting process. And, you know, yes, you're going to get people who call Jeff or Bill or Larry, you know, oh, they're hacks because they do the same thing over and over again. But it's like, dude, they found their niche. They found their thing that works, you know. It's like people who would call Carrot Top a hack or whatever, because he's a prop comic, but that dude's made a living out of it. Like he's made something amazing.
And that's a funny thing about my show, is you find the ones that are really mature, that just understand what the business is.
Yeah.
They give props to those guys. They don't care that they're working on a gimmick or whatever. It worked for them, and they respect that. I just talked to Corey Ryan Forrester, who is nothing like Jeff Foxworthy, and he gives so many props to Jeff Foxworthy. He's like, I'm not as good as him, and I'm not like him, but people try to compare me to him, and I'm thankful. You know,
well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to check him out. That's cool. That's one of those things where, you know, there's like, it almost seems like the people who don't get it are the people who take longer in comedy. Like if they're like, well, that person's a hack. Well, no, they're not a hack, right? Like they found a thing that works, a thing that gets people to listen to them and like them, and a thing that they can build on, right? You know, no one ever called, no one's going to call Rodney Dangerfield a hack. You're not going to hear somebody do that, right? But they'll go out and call, you know, Larry the Cable Guy or Jeff Foxworthy or whatever. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like they know how to write a joke. They know how to build that formula and they made millions of dollars out of it. How are you going to be mad at that? You can't be mad about that. Yeah. You know,
you're putting your energy in the wrong place. If you're thinking those types of things, you just really need to put your energy on yourself if you want to be a good comic.
Now where you're at in Indiana, where do you perform at around there? Is there a lot of places to perform or do you have to go up to Chicago or how does that work?
You know, it's funny. We've got a club here called the Drop Comedy Club. That's it's fairly popular. A lot of Chicago comics come, and then some of the more regional people come. And I've done quite a few open mics there. I was actually just putting on my own shows up until the pandemic hit, because I have a friend that has a more of a rock and roll bar, and he'd give it to me on Thursday nights so I could either do showcases or do a couple comics and a headliner. So I was doing that. And I was actually going up into Michigan because Grand Rapids is really kind of a cool little comedy scene. And Kalamazoo's got one too. So I was doing stuff there, and I was really getting kind of serious about it before the pandemic. It was more of a hobby before that. And I was really like, hey, maybe I can do something with this. And then pandemic hits and here I am. I'm sitting in my basement.
Well, I mean, you're doing great stuff with the time. That's all I can say is I mean, because I know a lot of comedians. I've been reaching out to comedians and texting them and stuff and like, hey, what's going on? What have you been up to? Are you okay? You know, I like to check on people and stuff.
Yeah.
And some people are like, I don't think I'm going to go back to comedy. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you're one of the funniest people I know. Like, why would you not go back? You know, just stuff like that. Or I have some that are like, oh, you know, I've been kind of depressed lately or whatever. Thanks for reaching out. No one's reached out to me. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, Joel said, you know, having a community is important. And for me, that's what I'm about. Like, I love other comedians because I learned something from every single one of them. Obviously you learned something. You had a comedian that you watched growing up. That was your favorite. And I think I've heard of Tom before, but probably only in passing and probably only from like maybe watching old, you know, Tonight Show or something like that. Yeah. I don't think I've ever like seen him or whatever, but I was, you know, like a Rickles fan and that kind of stuff. And or I'd go watch like Dean Martin Celebrity Roast. So I like those kind of things too. So I'm going to have to go check him out whenever I'm done with this, because that's going to be cool.
He's got some great stuff on YouTube where he's at the, I think he's at the Laugh Factory doing a lecture for comics. And I think it's like a 5 or 6 part series. And the stuff in there is so powerful because he really cares about, first of all, his audience, and second off, other comics. You know, he's the guy that got Tiffany Haddish her break.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, she's a Chicago native, and he was originally from Chicago, and he really is everything that you see as far as when you see him talk, because anytime I needed him for anything, he was my first guest. And then I decided I wanted to do a special around his book, and he said, yep, I'll be there. And he's there, and he does as long as I want him to do. And just fantastic guy. He's 81 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the comedy is like one of those things where you it's unlike anything else. When you tell someone you're a comedian, I don't know if you get this. Do you get where they're like, oh, well, tell me a joke if they've never seen you, like tell me a joke. And comedians, we know that's like the faux pas of like the same as like asking someone like, how old are you? Like asking a woman how old you are or how much you weigh. Like, it's like, you don't do that kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And so we're a different breed of humans and, I guess the big thing that I always wonder is, do you have a tight community where you're at? Because a lot of communities are not as tight as they could be.
Yeah, it's very young, but it's very tight. They kind of think of me as the grandpa. So super nice and super supportive. They are like in awe of the fact that I work clean after they do all their stuff, because I mean, they're not. I mean, not even close. So they just like the fact, and some of them come to me and say, hey, how can I make my stuff clean? And some of it you can't.
Yeah.
But you know, some of it I help them with, and they're all very, very dedicated to their craft. And it's funny, right now, if you go to any community, there is a comedy community. It doesn't matter if you've got 5,000 residents or 500,000 residents in the city limits. Somebody is working on comedy, and these kids are really killing it. and I totally respect them.
Thank you for listening to the Queen Comedy Podcast. We'd like to tell you about one of our new favorite podcasts, Stacey King's Gimme the Hot Sauce Podcast. If you know Stacey King, then you know that the three-time world champion Chicago Bull and sports announcer is full of heat as he talks about sports, current events, life stories, famous people.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He met along the way and life, all while doling out some of the greatest catchphrases in sports. Check out the link to Stacey King's Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast in the show notes and anywhere you find podcasts.
Yeah. And they, yeah, I mean, think about all the things that they get now that we didn't have. You know, they have YouTube and they have Twitter and they have all these other ways of avenues of getting comedy where, you know, when I was a kid, I had to watch like HBO or go rent something from like Blockbuster and watch it. Like that was kind of the it. Or if I was lucky, my dad had an album of somebody, and the first album I ever heard was George Carlin's AM/PM. So, you know, it's like, or AM/FM. And so it was one of those things where it was like, that's rare. Like you're not going to get it anymore. But now I have like 100 comedy albums on my phone right now that I can listen to, you know? So it's crazy.
And I think it's a good thing and a bad thing, because I do think you get a little oversaturated with everything that's coming at you, and it makes you so you don't pay attention to what's really good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why there's a lot of people working clubs right now that are probably better than the people who have Netflix specials. And it's just because people aren't paying attention. And you kind of get that when, I don't know when the last time you were in a club performing is, you kind of get that because people don't seem to know how to act in a comedy club. They don't know who they're coming to see. They don't know what they're supposed to do. And it's different, I think, than what comedy clubs used to be. There used to be a reverence for the comedian that came up, and maybe not so much anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like how Vegas used to be, because I lived in Vegas for a while. It used to be you had to dress nice to go into a casino, and now it's flip-flops and shorts and, you know, tearing up T-shirt or whatever. That's what it is. We just kind of like lost that. This is something that's not comedy. I always call comedy magic of the mouth. It's just like one of those things where like you see somebody doing, you go, I could do that. And then you try it and you go, wow, that's 1,000 times harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, I don't understand how they're doing it. How do I figure it out? And it's like learning a magic trick. Like you have to learn all the pieces of it and the steps that you go through to make somebody go, oh, that's awesome. You know, that's one of those things. It's crazy. And I think Robert G. Lee, I think he might've told us that when we first interviewed him, that, you know, you can always dirty up clean, but you can't clean up dirty. I think that was the thing that he said. I think that's his line. I don't know if it's his line, but I attribute it to him quite often, actually.
Yeah. So. I think he mentioned that in mine too. And he's right on with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, man, so good. Have you got to, is anything open there? Like, are you able to perform at clubs where you're at and stuff, or are you just doing Zoom or what?
Yeah, it's open, somewhat open, and I'm able, but I'm not. So I'm, as you can tell, I'm an older gentleman, and I've got my second grandson on the way, and I've had pneumonia a few times in the last couple of years, so I have to be careful. I'm getting my first shot of the vaccine tomorrow, so I'm stoked for that. But I did get offered a headlining gig in a town about an hour away, and I had to turn it down just because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that either is part of a community that starts a super spreader or get it myself and bring it home. So it's hard. It's really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the tough part that's what we're waiting for. Cause we're out in LA. That's the thing, is there's no clubs open. I mean, there's some backyard shows, but then comedians who weren't, I heard this from a couple of comedian friends of mine, comedians who weren't getting booked on the backyard shows were calling reporting these backyard shows to get shut down. I was like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, what? Just be polite. Like, if you, that's why they're not letting you on the show. You're being a jerk, you know?
That's the other thing about comedy. You got to be careful.
So I was like, wow. Yeah. So like, and then the cops would come and like, when they try to do another show, the cops would come like, hey, you can't do this. You know, and I was like, dude, come on, man. It's like, we're not hurting anybody. Like,
yeah.
You know, everyone's has a mask on still. Everyone, you know, like, I don't know what the problem is. Yeah. It's such a crazy, this whole thing's crazy. I can't wait for it to be over. I'm tired of Zoom shows. No offense to Zoom. Thank you so much for what you do, because you let us do stuff like this. But it's not the same as being in front of people and getting that love.
It's funny. I explained it like when you get done with a Zoom show, you feel like you got stood up for a date. And
that's a great joke.
Yeah, it's just that sinking feeling. And no matter how good you did, I did one right before this, and I killed. And I was like, eh. You know, I feel sad. I don't want to do this anymore. So I don't do very many those.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like, I always think of it as like, it's getting one of those burgers that you wanted, but you're getting the Beyond Burger instead of the real meat. You know, it's like, it's kind of filling, but not really. You know, you're like, man, it's okay, but I should have got the real burger, you know, like no offense really to anybody who likes Beyond Burger though.
Yeah. Okay. I'm actually an impossible guy, but
are you really? Okay.
Yeah. I'm a no meat guy, but, the good thing about the whole virtual thing is, you know, you can pop into an open mic just about any time and say the material, because saying the stuff out loud is the important part. It doesn't matter if you get a laugh or not, but if you say it out loud a few times, you get used to it. And also there's like feedback mics. There's I can probably get three people together at just about any time and run riff by them and give them premises and work on stuff. So that is a good thing. And I hope that continues.
Have you heard about the Alive Show app?
I have not.
It's an app that you get on your phone. So I think it's like, I think it's on Android and iOS. I know it for sure it's on iOS. And every day they have mics. And what they do is you put it on your phone, and then the audience can also react to you and give you points and stuff. Oh, and at the end of the show, it will give you all your points. And then you can also keep the video, because it stores a video, and you can download it and upload it to wherever you want and stuff. So if you had a good set, you had a good show, you can keep it. It's free to do. It's free to download and everything like that. But it's called a live show app, and it's just, it's amazing. So we talked to the guys who created it. We're helping them try to fund it and keep it going and do sponsorships deals with them and stuff and try to get them going. But it's really cool, because they do it every day, and you know, they're trying to expand more and more shows, but it gives comedians 3 minutes and it has a timer, and it's just, I like it a lot. I like it a lot better than a Zoom show, because you can set up your phone anywhere. You're not relying on where your thing is. Where your computer is. So I like it a lot better. And it's, I got nerdy and bought like a little USB adapter, because I have a real mic that has a USB end that I could put into my computer and stuff. That way I can use it and have a stand and do all the things, because that's what I miss about comedy, is getting on the stage, taking the mic out of that mic stand and moving that mic stand. Right.
Yeah.
Something about that process is like, I don't know. Were you a sports guy, or you play sports?
I was terrible at sports, and I don't watch sports.
What's your hobby? What was your hobby for the long time?
Reading a lot of books.
That's good. So you know, when you crack open the book.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I can relate it to that, but you know, when you crack open a book for the first time, that like the noise it makes when you crack that cover, and then you can, and it's hard to flip the pages the first time. It's that's that motion of moving the mic. It's I'm into this now. I'm going to be part of this. I'm committing to this journey. And that's what I like about, that's why I had to get like a mic and a stand and all this stuff. That's fun. I don't know how to relate that to heavy metal music. It's like when you go to Metallica and someone pushes you in a mosh pit. I don't know. Like, how do you know? What's the relation there?
I just finished Rob Halford's book. He did an autobiography called Confessional, and it's actually excellent. He's a singer for Judas Priest and one of my favorite bands. I saw him back in 82, and it's just one of my favorite concerts ever. But it's funny you talk about the mic, because I had actually made a decision the last time I perform live inside a club. I did a couple outdoor shows over the summer, but inside a club, I had decided to keep the mic in the stand. And I have not been able to put that into play yet, but I've got a mic and a stand right here. So when I do Zoom shows, a lot of times I stand up because I can elevate this desk. I can stand up and actually do it standing with the mic in my hand. And I feel like I'm more comfortable and I do better. Mm-hmm. And that's those weird things about comedy. You gotta experiment and find those things.
Yeah. It's weird, right? It's a feeling. Do you play instrument too, or you just end up?
I tried guitar for a while and I'm totally tone deaf, so I can't do it. Luke, teacher said, as a guitar player, you make a great drummer. So that's that's me.
Luke plays the guitar. He really does. And he's amazing at it. He actually is really good at playing the guitar. I tried to get him to do more musical comedy, but he won't do it. He doesn't.
Yeah.
I wish he would. I wish he would listen to me, but he doesn't. Luke, do you have a question?
Yes. let's see. Who have been some of your favorite guests that you've had on your podcast?
One of my big gets was Michael Palisak, and he was on the. It's funny, I had him and Ian Bagg like back to back, and they were both on the same Last Comic Standing season, and he is also squeaky clean. He's as clean as Nate Bargatze, and he used to date one of our friend's nieces when he went to Ball State University in Indiana. Wow. And she kept saying how funny he was. So I finally got to see him on Last Comic Standing, and he was very funny. And then he played the Drop Comedy Club, our local club, and was very funny. And I was bugging him really bad to get on the podcast. And he was always like, yeah, I want to do it. Couldn't set a date. So it took me like 6 months to get him on. But his mind is so, it's so contrarian to being a comedian. He looks at things different, and by his act you can see that. Mm-hmm. And there is no way he could be anything but what he is on stage, and I totally respect that he was able to find that. And I don't think he's ever been any different. He's been better and worse at comedy. Obviously he's gotten better as he's gotten older, but I totally respect that. And the funny thing is Ian Bagg is another one that I had as a second guest, totally different guy. And he's more of a Don Rickles type of guy, where he just totally lays into the audience and does all the crowd work. But the fact that he can do that night in and night out, I totally respect that. So those are two back to back. Of course, Tom was a big one. Corey Ryan Forrester is one that I had on. He was 2 weeks ago, I think. And the fact that he's a Southern guy with a pretty liberal outlook, and he's able to work on just about any stage, I respect the heck out of that. Because and he's definitely not a clean comic, but the fact that he can do things like that and get away with it and get his message across is fantastic. And my second guest, I keep talking here, Stuart Huff. If you ever get a chance to see Stuart Huff, he's a very philosophical guy. He's from I think he lives in Louisville, and very philosophical comic. And the way that he comes on stage sometimes with a notebook, because he's treating it like an open mic, and works out new material that you are going to see on an album someday, it's just totally golden for me. Wow. And I've seen him I think 3 times, and every time it's just absolute gold.
That's so cool. I love Michael Palisak. Like, he's actually he's one of my favorite people. And it's so funny because my kids the other day, there's a like viral YouTube video that's going around with him in it, that most people don't know. It's some kid Zoom bombs a comedy show he's on.
Uh-huh.
And Michael like talks to him or whatever. But the way that they edited it, it makes it look like Michael is like a teacher and is like kind of like weird or whatever. So my kids are like, you have to come see this teacher. You have to come see this teacher. I'm like, okay, I'll watch the video, because we watch those kind of stupid Zoom bomb videos. Uh-huh. So it starts and I go, that's Michael Palisak. He's not a teacher. And they go, no, he's a college teacher. He's college. I'm like, he's not a college teacher. I know him. Like, so I immediately text Michael. I'm like, hey, I saw this video of you. What's going on? Are you teaching college now? He's like, no, it was a comedy show that I did on Zoom.
Yeah.
Zoom bombed it or whatever. But just super funny that there's that, like, once you know somebody And my kids were adamant that he's a teacher. I'm telling you right now, he's smart enough to be a teacher, but he's not a teacher. Yeah. I'm telling you that right now. But
and there's absolutely nobody like him working.
Yeah.
And one of the most unique guys out there.
He is so, he's like, he looks at things, you're right, in such a different way that I was like his bit about the iPad with the kid, you know, the one thing.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that shouldn't be funny, but it's so funny. It's something that we quoted in our house for like a year. Like we would do, you just did the one thing, did the one thing, you know, it was like, that shouldn't be that. If you wrote that joke, you go, this isn't a joke.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's amazing. He just,
you always wonder if he's ever been angry. You know, sometimes he gets a little, you can tell he's been a little bit disappointed or maybe just a little put off, but has he ever actually been angry?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
Yeah. We should ask him that. Mike, have you ever been angry? You're probably like, oh, no, you know, not at all. No. Someone has said mean things to me, but that's about it. I'm like, okay, all right, buddy. You're like, whatever. Yeah.
I'm not aware of that emotion. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the nicest person too. That's the thing about him.
Very good guy.
Wow. And who are your influences besides Tom? Who are your influences for you and your comedy? Like, who do you kind of look up to, or who do you kind of listen to or enjoy now? Besides
Tom? Really the one that really took me through after Dreesen was Letterman. And I would stay up every night and watch Letterman no matter what. I had to watch it live even after I got a VCR that I could record. And a lot of people say I am most like him as a comedian. And then after that, Ray Romano. I'm super, super stoked about his last special.
It was great.
That special was fantastic. But I've loved him for years and years. And when I look at new comics, I have to honestly say I don't have anybody, you know. Bill Burr is great. All these guys are great, but nobody really hits me like some of these guys that have been doing it for a while. And maybe that's just me. And maybe my particular style is a throwback to that. And if I can keep that style going, I feel good about it.
I would love to see that style come back. I'm a big fan of that because I watch a lot of Seinfeld stuff. I'll watch Steve Martin because I love Steve Martin. I'll watch, you know, old Cosby. I know you're not supposed to say that, but I love old Cosby. Yeah. You know,
I had all his albums.
Yeah, I do too. You know, and I, you know, I love Rodney Dangerfield. Like, these are guys that Eddie Murphy. I have both of his specials. Like, they're still two of my favorites to this day.
Mm.
Those styles are just so different. Chris Rock is probably the new Eddie Murphy, and then Kevin Hart's probably the new Chris Rock, I guess, if you want to do it that way. But there's not another Steve Martin. We'll never see that again. We'll probably never see another Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where if you can keep something like that alive, bravo. Thank you. Yeah. You know,
Paula Poundstone. Have you ever gotten to see Paula Poundstone live?
I've never seen her live. I want to, though.
It's so much different than whatever you hear, because she works the audience kind of like Ian Bagg does.
Really?
Okay. And she is so good. I don't know of anybody that's as quick on her feet as Paula Poundstone and Elaine Boozer. I mean,
I love Elaine Boozer.
Yeah, it's just... And the funny thing is everybody who is working today is using elements of what was before. However, it's so much more in your face and you have to get to the punch quicker. And I like a good story. I like a lot of tags. I like a lot of exposition. You know, I want to get drawn into their lives. And that's what the old comics did.
Yeah, exactly. Well, where can people find you, Scott? Where can they find the podcast? Where can they watch your stand-up? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So Behind the Bits is very easy to find. Just type Behind the Bits in any podcast app, and you'll see my Rick and Morty blue tragedy comedy mass on there. And so that's easy. I do have a website called thebtbpc.com. Because somebody got Behind the Bits and they won't sell it to me. And and yet it's still parked. Yeah, so I've got that. I'm on all the social media under Behind the Bits podcast, except for Twitter, because somebody got that, and I'm the BTBPC on that as well. But Instagram is kind of my home. That's where I do most of my stuff, and Facebook. I also do a talk show called the BTB Internet Talk Show that is streamed on Twitch. It's the Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling channel on Twitch, and that's a lot of fun. So you know how serious my podcast is. I don't mess around. I just get right to it. There's no small talk. The talk show is what I do to actually have fun. So it's very like old style talk show-ish. It's very non-Zoom comedy like, because I bring people on, I make sure they get to promote stuff. I have Dean Martin show up because guess what, guys? He was cryogenically frozen. They thawed him out, and he had no money, so he's living with me. So he comes out, and people ask him questions. So that's kind of my pet project, and I'm having a lot of fun at that.
Do you have those videos posted anywhere, or do you have to watch them live on Twitch?
Yeah, if you go to my YouTube, there's
I'm gonna
most
check those
of them.
Out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it's funny, the show, when it's bad, it's almost better than when it's good. So it's... I don't really care how it turns out, if it's funny or if it's not funny. If there's really awkward pauses, I love it. So, I'm good with either way. So I get people on that I have never met before. I get people on who say they're a comic and they've only done one open mic. Anybody who wants to come on can come on, and it's a lot of fun.
That sounds so fun. That sounds like the most fun ever.
Palisak did it.
Did you? Okay, I'm gonna go check it out. Ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. And how did he do it? Was he live in the studio with you, or did they do it remote like this, or what?
Yeah, we did it remote. Yeah, the talk show is all remote. It's kind of like this.
That's
and
cool.
It's just a lot of fun.
I'm gonna have to pick your brain about that, because that sounds like a fun way to do things. And I miss old school talk shows. They don't do those kind of shows. Like, even late night TV is not Carson. It's not the same anymore.
No.
It's not Letterman.
Yeah.
It's not any of that stuff anymore. It's not Leno.
Yeah.
It's kind of a whole, it's almost like it's a meta version of itself, where it's like almost pretending it's a talk show doing a talk show.
Yeah,
type
it
thing.
Is.
And
yeah.
I'm like, I'm kind of burned out on that. But I miss I've been, to get my nostalgia, I've been watching the Larry Sanders Show, because that was like 30 Rock. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I love that show. Yeah.
And the funny thing about that is it's so real, even though it's fake. I love the Warren Zevon episode. The one where he said, I don't want to do Werewolves of London. And then he comes out, hey, will you do Werewolves of London? But and Janine Garofalo was just the absolute standout in that. And I love that show. And I am such a Shandling fan. I always forget to mention him, but he had a show before that called The Gary Shandling Show.
It's The Gary Shandling Show.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I just played, that's funny, because I just played the theme song for that for my wife and kids the other day, because I have the pilot and I downloaded a bunch on Amazon, because you can get them on it. You can stream it on Amazon, but you have to buy them. So, but they only have, I think, the first season. They don't have all four. I think it's four seasons, so you can't watch all of them. You can only watch like the first season, but just the theme song, that's hilarious. You know?
Oh, yeah. And he did a joke on there that I will never forget. He did that monologue, and he said, yeah, I, had to trade in my Porsche because I can't afford it anymore, and I got myself a Toyota.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, I'm excited. I'm gonna have to go check that out. Luke, where can people find you at?
You can find me at Luke LaCoy on Netscape.
On what?
Netscape. Bring it back. Bring back the hits.
Netscape. Do they even make Netscape anymore? Does it even exist?
I have no idea. I'll ask Jeeves.
I still use AltaVista for all my searches. So.
That's nerdy comedy, guys. If you guys don't know any of that, that's 100% nerdy comedy right there.
Yeah.
That's the best, you know. All right. Awesome. Well, please, guys, please check out Behind the Bits. Please go check out Luke. Check out Scott. Please like and subscribe. Please leave us a review and go check it out on YouTube so you can see our beautiful faces. Luke is very handsome. Scott's very handsome. Me, not so much, and that's okay. You don't have to look at me that much. You can just put that blur filter on and watch away. But thank you guys
so much. I'll take Luke's face. How about that?
Yeah, me too.
I'll feel a little bit better. And his hair.
Yeah, he's got great hair. Actually, when he has like really bushy hair, it's really cool. He hasn't done it in a while. And
yeah,
I'm surprised because I don't think we can get haircuts. Can we get haircuts right now, Luke, in California?
I don't know. My wife is my barber. So
I guess you can get haircuts. I can't get haircuts. I got to go to somebody that's better than my wife. She won't do a good job. Well, she'll tell you that. She'll tell you she's not a hair person. Not for guys, for my daughters, but not for me. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for checking us out. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, and have a great week. Bye.